We're going to be in Proverbs 14 in the chapter. We'll see how far we get. And one of the things about this chapter, Solomon has given some precepts in how to build up godly homes. Aquí nos da preceptos Salomón en Proverbios capítulo 14, en los preceptos y cómo podemos construir casas que glorifican a Dios. Entonces le llamé al sermón ahora, Preceptos en la Construcción de la Casa de Dios. I've titled today's sermon, Precepts into Building God's House. Okay, and so, let's go ahead and start our teaching today as Solomon is instructing his children on how to respond to the Lord. Remember, he's contrasting evil versus good and good versus evil. Aquí está también comparando Salomón los conflictos entre el bueno y el malo, ¿verdad? En otras palabras, el que es buen hijo de Dios y el que es un necio perdido. Y entonces vamos a mirar y aprender cómo podemos aplicar estos preceptos de su palabra a nuestras vidas. Vamos a al primer versículo, capítulo 14, versículo 1. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1 and begin today's study. And the first point we'll see in the first verse. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. En español, verse 1 only. And then we'll talk about 2 and 3 right now in a little bit. Okay? Y luego el versículo 1 dice, la mujer sabia edifica su casa, pero la necia con sus manos la derriba. Okay, el primer punto que les quiero dar, si vamos a construir ese hogar para el Señor, tiene que estar construido con integridad. Okay, the first point I want to give you is we construct these homes that are godly before God. Remember, we have to build it with integrity. And one of the things it says here, a wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her hands. Nos dice aquí en el versículo 1, ¿verdad? Que la mujer sabia construye su casa, pero la mujer necia, ¿verdad? Dice, con sus manos la derriba. Entonces, lo que nos enseña aquí la palabra, que cada mujer debe de tener un deseo de tener un hogar santo. Every single woman should have a desire to have a godly home. And either every woman will build a godly home or they will tear it down. Va a haber mujeres, ¿verdad?, que van a edificar casas o las van a romper, pero todas las mujeres que caminan con el Señor se enseñan en las Escrituras cómo edificar sus hogares. Okay, every woman who walks with the Lord will be taught by the scriptures how to build up their home. Okay? The wise woman is the one that realizes the priority and the calling and primary ministry of her life is to build up her house in God's ways. ¿Verdad? La mujer, ¿verdad? Principalmente y en prioridad por su llamado, primordialmente su ministerio es de dedicar su vida a construir un hogar cristiano. Es parte del crecimiento. And so if you're a mother here today, you have an opportunity every day for dynamic ministry in your homes. Cada mujer tiene una oportunidad diariamente de tener ministerio dinámica. ¿Por qué? Si cambian sus hijos, son creyentes, van a tener un impacto en el mundo. See, if you are able to minister to your children and they receive the word, you're going to be able to change the world just through those children. They're going to be impacting other lives. And so you've got to understand that. A foolish woman, though, who disobeys God's wisdom will tear her home down. La mujer que es necia, no le hace caso a los preceptos de Dios, va a romper su casa, porque no está aplicando lo que Dios le da. Acuérdense, la mujer necia no le da la atención a su familia o la energía que necesita. One of the things about a foolish woman, she won't give her family the attention or energy that it needs. Because she doesn't see it as priority. La mujer necia no mira prioridad en tener su hogar en orden. Running a home is very difficult. It's never easy, right? We know as parents. But as long as we keep trusting God in it, as far as we continue to direct our children in the ways of God, God can turn around every situation that the enemy tries to trip up our children with. How many of you have struggled with your kids? I have. And one of the things is that I continue to go to the Word to be able to trust God to turn those things around. The foolish woman won't do that. She continues to run things in her own strength instead of depending on God. La mujer necia no hace eso con su hogar. Si no va con Dios, ella sola está cargando con la carga y está rumbando, derribando su hogar en una manera muy triste. But the woman who recognizes that God must be center in her house realizes what a tremendous impact she can have by disciplining, discipling, praying for, and also loving and encouraging her family in God's word. La mujer que sabe, ¿verdad? La mujer sabia, ¿verdad? Tiene tremendo impacto en su familia porque los está disciplinando, los está discipulando, los está orando por ellos, los está amando y los está animando en los preceptos de Dios. Eso es muy importante. Miren los versículos 2 y 3 de Proverbios 14. Look at Proverbs 14, verses 2 and 3. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is devious in his ways despises him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will protect them. I want you to see this. The rod is the instrument for striking. Acuérdense que la vara es un instrumento para pegar, ¿verdad? Entonces, cuando Salomón está hablando aquí del hombre necio y que les golpea a otros, ¿verdad? Y que anda causando daño en otros, una de las cosas que estás haciendo, te estás portando sin sabiduría. Estás siendo necio tú también. When Solomon is speaking here of the foolish man who strikes out at others and beats up others, whenever you strike on someone or beat up someone or other people, you're acting like a foolish person. That's what Solomon is saying. As a Christian, you don't do that anymore. Como cristianos ya no hacemos esto. See, Moses was the one who erred in this area greatly. Moisés era el que falló en esta área tremendamente. Acuérdense que después que estaba el pueblo de Israel murmurando en el desierto que querían agua, ¿verdad? La primera vez le dijo el Señor, mira, háblale, pégale a la roca y de la roca va a echar agua. La segunda vez le dijo, háblale a la roca, no le pegues. ¿Y qué hizo en su carne? La golpeó. See, Moses was the one that blew his top with his people. The first time that they were murmuring about water in the desert, one of the things that they did, they said, we want water. The Lord, and Moses goes in desperation, man, they're complaining, they're murmuring, what do I do? And he told them, hit the rock. The first time it was fine. The second time they did that at Meribah when they were complaining, right? The second thing that happened is Moses was supposed to speak to the rock and he didn't. He hit it because he was frustrated. You know, your people, these people you gave me, they're always continuing to bug me, and he blew up, and it cost him going into the promised land. Una de las cosas que tenemos que tener dominio propio. No podemos estar haciendo cosas así nosotros ya como hijos del Señor si tenemos el fruto del Espíritu Santo. Look at what happened to Moses. Let's go to Numbers 20, verses 9 to 13. Mira lo que le pasó a Moisés. Capítulo 20, versículos 9 al 13. He lost a big blessing of being able to lead his people into the promised land because he was in the flesh. So Moses took the rod before the Lord, just as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, listen now, you rebels, he's mad. Shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock? And it's we, right? Like I am my boss, right? I am the boss, me and Aaron. And he says, then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came forth abundantly, God's mercy. And the congregation and their beast drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Those were the waters of Meribah, because the sons of Israel contended with the Lord, and he proved himself holy among them. Tomó Moisés la vara de la presencia del Señor, tal como él lo había ordenado. Y Moisés y Aarón reunieron el pueblo ante la peña, y les dijo, oíd ahora, rebeldes, ¿sacaremos agua de esta peña para vosotros? Entonces Moisés levantó su mano y la golpeó la peña dos veces con su vara, y brotó agua en abundancia, y bebió el pueblo y sus animales. Y el Señor le dijo a Moisés y a Aarón, porque vosotros no creísteis a fin de tratarme como santo ante los ojos de los hijos de Israel, por tanto no conduciréis a este pueblo a la tierra que les he dado. Aquellos fueron las aguas de Meribá, porque los hijos de Israel contendieron con el Señor, y él manifestó su santidad entre ellos. Qué triste, ¿verdad? Moisés debía de hablarle a la roca y le pegó dos veces. Y la razón que el Señor se enojó tanto es que la roca era Cristo. En 1 Corintios 10 nos dice, Cristo fue la roca que lo seguía durante el día y era el pilar de fuego en la noche. Y una de las cosas que cuando le dijo a Moisés, la primera vez sí le podía pegar, pero esta segunda vez en Meribá, ¿verdad? La golpeó. ¿Y qué pasó con Moisés? No siguió lo que Dios le dijo. Dice el Señor, yo no estoy enojado con ellos. Tú estás enojado. Tú le pegaste a la roca a mi hijo. Y era un retrato, un símbolo de lo que Cristo iba a ser crucificado una vez nomás, no dos veces. Y es lo que hizo Moisés mal, le pegó dos veces a la piedra cuando su hijo nomás debía ser crucificado una vez. Y porque él era la roca que lo seguía, ofendió al Señor, le dijo, ahora no vas a entrar a la tierra prometida porque no hiciste caso, mal representaste el Evangelio. See, and this is what got Moses in trouble. He struck the rock twice when the Lord was saying, this is my son. In 1 Corinthians 10, it says Jesus was that rock. And one of the things is when he was representing the people there, he was their pillar of fire, right, at night, and that pillar of the cloud by day. But he was there with them every step of the way providing. And what the Lord got mad at Moses for was because he misrepresented God. He did not show the patience, the kindness, the mercy of God. And when he hit him twice, he says, my son's only supposed to be crucified once, not twice. And so he misrepresented the Lord, misrepresented the gospel, and we have to be careful. Why? Because we get proudful as people. And many times we have pride, and God says, get rid of that pride because that pride shouldn't be in you anymore. You're my son, you're my daughter. You shouldn't be behaving this way. Tú eres mi hijo, mi hija. Quítate ese orgullo, ¿verdad? Porque así es la vara. Cuando comienzas a pegar y golpear y con la lengua o con físicamente, no estás haciendo una reflexión de tu Salvador. Él dijo, Padre, perdónalos porque no saben lo que hacen. See, and that's why it's so important not to misuse the rod. Because if you misuse the rod, right, the instrument of correction with love by God, and you misrepresent it, it's all flesh. And one of the things about that rod, when you use it the wrong way, you lose out on blessings as well, because you will not be able to connect to people the same way. It's important to understand. Be careful with the rod of pride. Be careful with the rod of pride. Be careful with the way you speak to your children, to the people around you. Yes, you will be stretched, just like Moses. 2 million plus people, of course, he was going to lose it if he didn't go to God. But he had the opportunity, and he lost out on a tremendous blessing. See, this is how it happens. So there's many times in our homes that we speak without thinking, we hurt each other, and then the enemy has his way because he's tearing down the walls we're supposed to be building up of trust. Todo el tiempo tenemos que tener cuidado con esta boca. The lips of the wise preserve, it says. Los labios del sabio preservan. It's so many times we've messed up with our kids. I've messed up. I'm not preaching to you. God has convicted me many times when I spoke without thinking to my kids. And it hurts. But every time we do that, we're tearing down instead of building up. Be careful. Cada vez que hablamos así, ¿verdad? Y cortamos a los niños con la carne, ¿verdad? Entonces dañamos la edificación que Dios quiere que tengamos en nuestros hogares. Look at verse 4. Vamos a Proverbios 14:4. A Proverbs 14. Proverbios 14:4. It says, where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much revenue comes by the strength of the ox. I want you to see this. Many people boast about having clean stables. And what it's talking about here is when people say, I don't mess up. My stable is clean. Cuando estamos aquí hablando de esto, ¿verdad? Que Salomón quería enseñarnos por medio de los hijos. era que mucha gente se jacta de que sus establos, ¿verdad? Sus pesebres están limpios, que no hacen errores. Yo soy la mera cosa. And it's not true. We all make mistakes. My stable is clean. Okay, what's the problem with that? Well, when you see a clean barn, right, there's no pasture patties on the floor. Cuando tú miras un preserve limpio, no hay nada de rejuce de los animales allí, ¿verdad? Entonces, si no tienes un animal en ese preserve, no está metiendo dinero ese animal a tus ingresos. See, if you don't have an animal in your stable, guess what's not happening? Or in your barn, you're not producing any income. And this is what he's saying, okay? They don't bring any profit. See, if a farmer would boast about the cleanliness of the floor in his barn, it's because they don't have any livestock in it. Cuando el granjero, ¿verdad?, está hablando de su rancho y su preserve que está limpio, es que no tiene animales en él. Entonces, ¿verdad?, una de las cosas que dicen, yo no tengo errores, y muchos de nosotros tenemos la misma tendencia. See, a lot of us have the same tendency to say, I want a clean barn. Yo quiero un preserve limpio. Entonces, lo que pasa es que nunca tomamos riesgos, ¿verdad?, o pasos de fe para servir a Dios. See, people who serve God many times have clean barns because they've never done anything to serve God. They never take risks. They never take steps of faith. There's a lot of people that have clean barns because they've never stepped out in faith to trust God to use them in ministry. Muchas veces nosotros, ¿verdad?, no tomamos un paso de fe para poder nosotros ser usados por Dios. Tengo miedo, tengo temor de ser usado por Dios. There's many people that are struck with fear of serving. You know, I can't do it. I can't serve. I can't speak. No puedo servir. No puedo hablar. ¿Cómo puedo servir? Y entonces tienen miedo. Entonces está el preserve bien limpio. Cuando tú sirves, se va a ensuciar tu pesebre. When you serve, your barn is going to get messed up. It's going to get dirty. Why? Because when you lead, you're serving. And people come in because you're ministering to them. Messed up lives, people that have their lives torn apart are going to come seeking you for ministry. La gente que está desbaratada y todo van a entrar en tu preserve porque tú debes estar compartiendo la palabra con ellos. Entonces se te va a ensuciar. Have you opened up your home to minister? ¿Has abrido tu hogar, tu preserve, para ministrar? Y si nunca tomas un paso de fe, pues va a estar muy bonita la sala. See, if you haven't, then your living room is going to be spotless. But have you invited a neighbor that you know needs prayer or help or things like that, where you turn that barn into something that's being used continually by God? Debes estar tú usando tu hogar para hacer cosas para el Señor. ¿Qué del carro? ¿Cuántas veces te traes gente a la iglesia? Pero es el Señor. O te pide la gente el carro y luego lo usan y te agüitas porque te pones triste porque ensuciaron la alfombra. Pero fueron a la iglesia. Las cosas que Dios te da son para su gloria. No para que estén limpia todo el tiempo y nada se ensucie. Tenemos que alcanzar a los perdidos. Your homes are supposed to be places of ministry as well. When you lend your car out and you say somebody needs it, here, take it. They come back, they bring it dirty and you get all bent out of shape because your barn is dirty. So no, your barn's supposed to get dirty. Especially if you're serving God's people. You're going to be inconvenienced and your home will take a beating many times, but that's a good thing because you're inviting people to receive the gospel. And here you notice that. Many people don't take that challenge. No, I don't want to open up my doors like that. My barn's going to get dirty. He says, you know what? The barn should get dirty. Se debe de ensuciar el pesebre, ¿verdad? One of the things is also fear will rob you from doing that. El temor también te va a querer robar servir. Oh, hay una necesidad y miras que tú puedes hacer algo, pero no te mueves en fe. Yo conozco mucha gente que pudiera ser usada por Dios grandemente, pero nunca dan su paso de fe. Oh, yo no voy a Juárez. No, está peligroso. En vez de confiar en el Señor. I know a lot of people that want to serve, even take steps, and they want to go to Juarez and serve, and some people say, nope, I don't want to go to Juarez. I'm afraid. Fear will rob you of many things so that your barn never gets dirty. Remember, the place where you open it up to get used, the place of service where the oxen bring in work, has to be continually moving. Se tiene que mover, ¿verdad? En ese preserve. See, your barn floor might be clean as a whistle, but inside it'll be empty. Ese preserve quizás va a ser algo bien limpio, sin una mancha ni arrugue, pero va a estar vacío. Tenemos que trabajar para el Señor. And what Solomon is saying here is don't be afraid to step out. Don't be afraid to take a challenge and even invite people to serve or to use your vehicles, whatever. Right? Sure, you might scrape your elbow. Sure, you might fall. Sure, something might happen. But at least you took your step of faith. Una de las cosas, no dejes que el diablo te robe tu paso de fe. Porque si tomas tu paso de fe, Dios va a hacer algo maravilloso. Si te vas a raspar, si va a haber, ¿verdad?, donde te lastimas. Pero una de las cosas que un preserve vacío, aunque esté limpio, no trae ganancia. See, and one of the things, if it's an empty stable, although it may stay clean, it'll never bring profits for the kingdom of God. We need to work hard. Attempt to do something for the Lord in your life, where it requires a step of faith, because remember the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. La Biblia dice claramente, sin fe es imposible agradar a Dios. Okay? Miren el versículo 5, Proverbs 14, verse 5. Proverbios 14, 5. A trusty witness will not lie, but a false witness utters lies. Okay? Now, a false witness is not only one who makes up outrageous, blatant lies, it's also one who can be sharing the right information the wrong way. Un testigo falso puede ser alguien, ¿verdad?, que no francamente va a decir mentiras todo el tiempo así muy francamente, pero puede compartir la información correcta, pero con la mal implicación. See, they share things with wrong implications. And this is what we have to be careful for. False witnesses at the trial of Jesus said, he should destroy this temple and he will build it up. And what they were saying is, Jesus is an anarchist. He's a rebel. He's going to do it. He's going to tear it down and tear it back up. And so they twisted, right, what Jesus meant, because he was talking about the physical body. Aquí en las escrituras, ¿verdad?, los testigos falsos que estaban en el tribunal de Jesús están diciendo, va a destruir el templo y luego lo va a levantar. Querían implicar que Jesucristo era un anacristo, ¿verdad?, uno que estaba en rebeldía. Let's go to Matthew 26:61. Vamos a San Mateo 26:61. Look at what they said. This man stated, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. They were twisting what he was saying. ¿Qué dijeron? Este declaró, yo puedo destruir el templo de Dios en 3 días y reedificarlo. See, they were claiming Jesus was going to destroy the temple. He never said that. Estaban clamando que Jesús iba a destruir, ¿verdad?, el templo, cuando no estaba diciendo eso. Estaba hablando de su cuerpo, ¿verdad? Now the truth, Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body, not the temple of the physical building. Aquí Jesús está hablando del templo de su cuerpo. Let's go to John chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it took 46 years to build this temple and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Jesús respondió y dijo, destruir este templo y en 3 días lo levantaré. Entonces los judíos dijeron, en 46 años fue edificado este templo y tú lo quieres levantar en 3 días. Pero él hablaba del templo de su cuerpo. One of the things about this, remember, when we are involved in passing on information, it may be technically right, but it misses the heart of the matter. Make sure that when you do speak, you're speaking with all truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Cuando hablen la verdad total, y verdad, el Señor los va a honrar por eso. Proverbs 14:6, vamos ahí. Proverbios 14:6. A scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge is easy to one who has understanding. El encarnecedor busca sabiduría y no la haya, pero para el hombre entendido el conocimiento es fácil. Okay, now, to understand God's word, to gain his wisdom, and to have it received from God, we can't come as scoffers to the table or as skeptics as children of God. We cannot doubt what is written in the word. Lo que está hecho en la palabra, ¿verdad? Para agarrar sabiduría de Dios, tenemos que venir como creyentes y no como escépticos, porque somos hijos de Dios, ¿okay? Una de las cosas, ¿verdad? Cuando estamos leyendo la palabra, Dios nos va a hablar cuando somos sus hijos. El Espíritu Santo nos ministra. Right, when we're the children of God, the Holy Spirit will speak to us and minister to us. And one of the things that we do when we come before the Lord, we have to obey the word once it's spoken. Tenemos que obedecer la palabra cuando se nos habla. The reason the Bible is so complicated for many people, and because it doesn't make sense to many people, is they don't have the ability to have the Holy Spirit within them to discern the word. That's the advantage that we have as children. Como nosotros, como sus hijos, ¿verdad? Muchas personas que no conocen, la persona que no conoce al Señor, ¿verdad? Es complicado para que entienda la Biblia porque no tiene el Espíritu Santo dentro de ellos. So, un cínico, ¿verdad? Viene y no entiende las Escrituras por cómo están escritas en su contexto. See, we have to learn Scripture is based on the context that was written. Let's go to Matthew 11, verses 25 and 26. Vamos a San Mateo 11, versículos 25 y 26. At the time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, and you have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this was well-pleasing in your sight. En aquel tiempo, hablando Jesús, dijo, Te alabo, Padre Señor, del cielo y la tierra, porque ocultaste estas cosas a los sabios y inteligentes y las revelaste a los niños. Sí, Padre, porque así fue de tu agrado. See, when Jesus said, I thank you, Lord, that you've hidden these things from the wise and revealed them to your babes, right, your children. This was one of the things that he would speak when he would have the word. He would make it available, not to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's why he spoke in parables many times, because he had to relay the word to his children. And when he would use the parables, they were lost. They didn't understand it. But their kids, his children understood the word. ¿Verdad? Aquí el Señor, ¿verdad? Cuando ministra y dice, qué bonito que ocultó estas cosas de los sabios. Pero se le reveló a sus hijos, ¿verdad? A sus bebés. See, when we learn deeper in the word is when we develop deeper humility. That's what he's saying. Cuando aprendemos más de la palabra, tenemos humildad más profunda. Y lo que pasa, ¿verdad? Cuando un hombre admite, yo necesito tu instrucción, Señor, en la palabra y el estudio, Dios comienza a llenar ese vaso con sabiduría. Whenever you share in Bible study or you study the Bible on your own, the deeper you go in humility and you understand, Lord, I don't understand this, but I need instruction to be able to teach it and to apply it to my life, the humbler you get, the more he will pour in a reservoir of understanding. And when you study the Bible in that way, in that humility, one of the great things that happens, you begin to receive the Father's instruction and grow as a child of God, especially in the study of the word. The humbler you are, the more God will fill you with more instruction and more word. Let's go to Proverbs 14, 7 and 8. Leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge. The wisdom of the sensible is to understand his way, but the foolishness of fools is deceit. Apártate de la presencia del necio, porque en él no discernirás palabras de conocimiento. Now, leave the presence of a fool. Deja, ¿verdad? Y vete de la presencia de un necio. Porque si no, vas a estar en los lugares donde no puedes discernir conocimiento. See, if you're hanging out with fools, you become a foolio, right? And that's what he's saying. Don't hang around with fools because you won't understand knowledge, right? The wisdom of the sensible is to understand his way. Los sensibles conocen el camino del Señor, pero los necios engañan. Y esa es una de las cosas que pasa. When you are with your friends and you're picking them wisely, if you're picking them the way that God says, and they're wise friends, they'll bring you closer to the things of God. But if they're not, they're going to lead you further astray. And this is what God is saying. Make sure you pick your friends wisely. Because if you want to attain knowledge of God and His Word, you need people who are like-minded. And the more like-minded they are in the Word of God, the more they love the Word of God, the more you're going to grow in the knowledge of who God is. The devil doesn't want that. So young people, remember what I'm telling you. He's going to try to surround you with friends that'll get you further away from God. He will get you further away from the knowledge of God so that he can bind you. One of the most important things in our life is to make sure we use sound wisdom. See, we are told that every man is not to think more highly of himself than he should. ¿Verdad? La palabra nos enseña que ningún hombre se debe exaltar en un modo más alto que lo que debe de. But we're told in the Bible to prayerfully consider who we are and what we're to do for the Lord. La Biblia nos enseña, ¿verdad?, de tener cuidado de orar y considerar quién somos y qué vamos a hacer para el Señor. One of the things is God will change your plans many times. El Señor va a cambiar tus planes en muchas maneras. In Acts chapter 8, you guys remember Philip was having a revival in Samaria. And one of the things that was happening, a lot of people were getting saved. And then the Lord all of a sudden told them, go minister to one Ethiopian eunuch. And he had to leave, remember? There was great revival, tons of people coming. But see, Philip knew his limits. Because as soon as all this revival was coming by, who did he call by to help him? He called Peter and John, right? And he told them, pray for the new converts. Pray for the new believers, right? That they might receive the power of the Holy Spirit. That was their gift. And Philip understood this. And the moment he gave the work to them, he left. And then he saved one Ethiopian eunuch that was going to change his country in Egypt. Miramos aquí algo muy claro de los planes. Los modos del Señor no son los de nosotros. Y aquí, ¿verdad? Cuando miramos en Hechos 8, Felipe que estaba en Samaria, ¿verdad? Y se levantó un avivamiento en la ciudad. Una de las cosas que pasó, cuando estaba tanta gente viniendo, él dijo, yo no lo puedo hacer solo todo. Y entonces le habló a Pedro y a Juan, ¿verdad? Y ellos comenzaron a ministrar a la gente que se llenaran del Espíritu Santo. Y qué interesante, ¿verdad? Cuando dice aquí, que entendió su camino. ¿Se fijan? Do you understand what the scripture says? In Proverbs 14:8, you understand your way. We're limited. And once we understand that, we realize the way, right? He knew, he said, man, I'm not an evangelist like Peter and John. They are. They're gifted in that area. I'm going to let them have this right here so they can start ministering and doing more work, right? Then God sends them one-on-one with one person. That's where his strength was. And that's where God started using him. Cuando lo mandó, ¿verdad?, aquí a Felipe a salir fuera, ¿verdad? Una de las cosas que él entendía, yo no soy evangelista. Entonces Pedro y Juan tomaron ese trabajo, comenzaron a ganar más almas, se vino el Espíritu Santo, un avivamiento tremendo. Pero después lo mandó uno a uno. Y cuando fue con este eunuco de Etiopía, una de las cosas que pasó, ahí comenzó a cambiar un hombre que cambió una nación. Eso es lo que tenemos que entender. El Señor ama un equipo trabajando juntos. See, the Lord loves teamwork. This is one of the things I want to show you through this. One of the things that we have to do is work together as Christians here, especially for the church. We have many different gifts, but the same God, and to use them for the same God in the same way for His glory. There's things I cannot do that other people do better, and I'm okay with that. But pride won't let you do that because, no, I have to shine. I have to be in every place at every time. No, you don't. Just like Peter, right? And John, they were there taking care of the business in Samaria, and then Philip left, and he started doing the work of one-on-one ministry. We're all different. And one of the things about that, right? You have gifts in the ministry. You have callings that God has given you. And you're all supposed to be placed in the areas where you're strong so that the body does better. And it should never be about one person wanting to take all the credit. Nunca debe ser que una persona que quiere tomar todo el crédito, porque toda la gloria se le va a Dios. All glory goes to God when He uses our lives. When you understand this principle, right? And you understand what is going on, you understand, look, we need to work together for the glory of God. One of the things is leave the presence of the fool, the person that doesn't understand that. And then look at what it says in verse 8. The wisdom of the sensible is to understand his way. Do you understand your way? Do you understand your calling, your gifts, right? And it is, well, that it's for the Lord. But the foolishness of fools is deceit. One of the things is you have gotten gifts from the Lord, and we're to function in the body of Christ together. It's a vital role that we play in each part. The fingers work together. The thumb works with the hand. The eyes, the ears, they all work together for God's glory. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. Verses 20 to 25. Todo el cuerpo trabaja unánimes. Y es esencial para funcionar en el cuerpo como Cristo nos creó. Todos tenemos llamados y dones muy diferentes, pero hay que usarlos todos, no como necios, como sabios. Y si alguien más lo hace mejor, pásele el gastón allí a la otra persona para que ellos hagan la voluntad de Dios. Primera Corintios 12, 20 al 25. Vamos ahí. 1 Corinthians 12, 20 to 25. But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which deem to be less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Sin embargo, hay muchos miembros, pero un solo cuerpo. Y el ojo no le puede decir a la mano, no te necesito, ni tampoco la cabeza a los pies, no os necesito. Por el contrario, la verdad es el que los miembros del cuerpo que parecen ser los más débiles son los más necesarios. Y las partes del cuerpo que estimamos menos honrosas, a estas las vestimos con más honra, de manera que las partes que se consideramos más íntimas reciben un trato más honroso. Y el que, ya que nuestras partes presentables no lo necesitan, mas así formó Dios el cuerpo, dando mayor honra a la parte que carecía de ella. Y a fin de que en el cuerpo no haya división, sino que miembros tengan el mismo cuidado los unos por los otros. So when he's talking about the spiritual unity, he's saying you're all important in the body. Cuando está hablando de la unidad unida, ¿verdad? Espiritualmente, todos somos necesitados en el cuerpo. No hay nadie más importante que el otro. And the way he compares it is to a physical body. Have you ever heard your pinky? Real, you think it's an insignificant member, but you heard it? You can't function the same way with your hand. The same way with your toe, little toe, on your foot. You hurt that thing, you can't walk around. They're needed. All of us are needed. We're the same way in the body. We're fools if we don't understand this principle. Because we all cannot do all the work ourselves. Every single member is needed to work together. Todos los miembros se necesitan para hacer el trabajo. Y todos son importantes. Okay? And you know what? A lot of people don't like doing or using the gifts that they think are irrelevant. And you can't do that because the gift that God has placed you in the body is very important. Everybody thinks that being back here in the pulpit is the most important tool. Well, let me tell you, a lot of the gifts of the Spirit are behind where nobody sees it. The gifts of helps, the gifts of administrations, things that you see that you don't have to be up front. So many people do things for the Lord that aren't seen, and it's amazing because when they practice in their element, in their gifts, more of the work of God is more beautiful. El trabajo del Señor es muy importante, muy hermoso, cuando usamos nuestros dones correctamente. Debemos de trabajar juntos Para la gloria de Dios. We have to work together for the glory of God. Yes, ma'am. Right.
So even if I clean the church or clean the parking lot, it's the same honor because we do it for Him.
All for the glory of God.
Do it with joy.
Yeah. El actitud todo tiene que ser para el Señor.
In the scriptures it says, each man in his own order.
In his own heart, yes. Each man in his own heart will do the things as unto the Lord. Okay, so we're together. We work together and all glory goes to God. Versículo 9, Proverbios 14. Proverbs 14, verse 9. Fools mock sin, but among the upright there is goodwill. Los necios se mofan del pecado, pero entre los rectos hay buena voluntad. Now I want you to see this. You can tell a man's character by what provokes him to laughter. Tú puedes mirar el carácter de un hombre para ver qué lo causa que se ría. ¿De qué? Okay, what causes someone to laugh? You'll see the difference between a fool and you'll see the difference between a wise man. Vas a mirar a alguien que es sabio, hijo de Dios, y uno que es necio y no es hijo de Dios. It's a good way to find out their character. Es un modo muy bueno para encontrar su carácter. Does God joke about sin? ¿El Señor hace chistes del pecado? No, ¿verdad? If you want to know what God thinks about sin, remember what He did at Calvary. Si tú quieres saber cómo el Señor actúa contra el pecado, acuérdate lo que hizo en el Calvario, en la cruz. Romanos 6:23, vamos ahí. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Porque la paga del pecado es muerte, pero la dádiva del Señor es vida eterna en Cristo Jesús, Señor nuestro. Amén. El Señor nunca chistea con el pecado y nosotros tampoco debemos de. The Lord never laughs about sin and neither should we. Okay? All right, verse 10, Proverbs 14. Proverbios 14, 10. The heart knows its own bitterness and a stranger does not share its joy. El corazón conoce su propia amargura y un extraño no comparte su alegría. Okay? So, no one else can truly feel your heartache and hurt when you're going through times of difficulty and tragedy. Now, you may go through something similar, but each person reacts differently. Cada persona actúa diferente. No puedes saber tú cómo van a reaccionar y cómo se sienten. Aunque pases una situación similar, puedes comprender poquito, pero lo que pasa a esa persona, cada uno lo hace diferentemente. And I remember Job with this verse. Me acordé de Job en este versículo. Porque muchas veces viene gente, ¿verdad? Y te quiere consolar y te causan más daño. There's people sometimes that are trying to console you and they cause more harm, like Job's friends. Así como los amigos de Job, ¿verdad? Entonces, ¿verdad? Job dijo en las Escrituras, miserables consoladores son ustedes, cuando le respondió a Eliphaz. See, when Eliphaz was giving him counsel, he responded, he said, you're miserable comforter, all of you. And because of that, I want you to see that. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. El corazón conoce su amargura propia, y el extranjero, ¿verdad?, no comparte con su gozo. Let's go to Job 16. Verses 1 through 5. Vamos a Job 16, versículos 1 al 5. Then Job answered, I have heard many such things. Sorry comforters are you all. He was telling his friends that were coming because they were accusing him of sin. He says, I'm not in sin. I'm just going through a very difficult time. Is there no limit to windy words or what plagues you that you answer? I too could speak like you. Man, I can hurt people. I'm just as good at it as you are. He says, if I were in your place, I could compose words against you and shake my head at you. I could strengthen you with my mouth and the solace of my lips could lessen your pain. I can do what's right or I can do what's wrong. Entonces Job y dijo, respondió Job y dijo, He oído muchas cosas como estas. Consoladores gravosos sois todos vosotros. No hay fin a la palabra, a las palabras vacías o que te provoca para que así respondas. Yo también hablaría como vosotros si vuestra alma estuviera en lugar de mi alma. Podría hilvanar palabras contra vosotros y menear ante vosotros la cabeza. Os podría alentar con mi boca y el consuelo de mis labios podría aliviar vuestro dolor. El consejo, cuando damos consejo a alguien que está pasando por cosas duras, ¿saben qué necesitan más de todo? Amor y que ores por ellos. When people are going through bitter times, the wise person will learn how to pray and comfort people. And they will not hammer down people when they're going through those big problems. They will encourage them to trust in God. La gente que anda pasando esos problemas duros, el consolador bueno les va a dar consejos de la Biblia, pero de amor, para que se levanten, no para que se caigan. You know, as parents, we make a lot of mistakes many times, and sometimes we feel like failures, and the enemy will prey on that. But you got to remember, is that they belong to God. We've given them to God. And one of the issues that comes up is when people try, they mean well, but they cut you down. Don't take those words to heart. You know why? Because God's not talking to you that way. God is trying to let you know, man, and my words are comfort, and my words are peace, and I will lift you up. Muchas veces, ¿verdad? Nos desesperamos con los niños, con los hijos y todo. Y el Señor nos dice, mira, yo cuando te doy consejo, te la doy para levantarte. No para que pierdas esperanza. Y hay muchos consoladores que Dios los perdone, ¿verdad? Pero son muy mal para dar consejo. Entonces te apachurran, ¿verdad? Te quitan el gozo del Señor. Pero una de las cosas que tenemos un Salvador que no va a reaccionar como ser humano. See, the thing I love is that we have a great high priest that won't respond like a human being. We have a high priest who's compassionate, who knows what we're going through. He went through everything we went through. And he will never tear you down. A fool will. Una persona necia te va a romper, pero el Señor te va a levantar. Vamos a Hebreos 4, 14 al 16. Hebrews 4, chapter, verse 14 to 16. Verses 14 to 16. God will always lift you up. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things just like we were or are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of what? Need. When I need him the most, that's when he pours out mercy and grace for me. He will never treat me like those counselors did Job. He will always give me words of encouragement to lift me up. Teniendo pues un gran sumo sacerdote que trascendió de los cielos, Jesús el Hijo de Dios, retengamos nuestra fe. Porque no tenemos un sumo sacerdote que no puede compadecerse de nuestras flaquezas, sino que ha sido tentado en todo como nosotros, pero sin pecado. Por tanto, acerquémonos con confianza al trono de la gracia para que recibamos misericordia y hallemos gracia para la ayuda que oportuna. Dios quiere ayudar, Dios quiere levantarnos, ¿verdad? Y no le hace lo que estás pasando, por Jesús está contigo. And I want to remind you of that. No matter what you're going through, Jesus has been there and will be there for you. El Señor ha estado ahí donde estamos nosotros. And no matter what temptation you're facing, God is with you to give you the strength to overcome it through His mercy and grace. Hasta las tentaciones que tienes, He battled against it at the cross. And He will save you. Él peleó la batalla en la cruz y ha vencido los problemas. Nomás tenemos que ir. ¿Qué dice? Con confianza, no tímidos, no como ya personas destruidas o ya que nos sentemos vencidos. No, vete conociendo que es tu papá. Y que cuando le pides algo te va a dar misericordia y gracia. As you go to the throne of grace, as you come confident. What, in myself? No, that I'm a child. And He's my Father, and I can come to Him. And in my times of need, He will minister to me. He will love me, and He will lift me up. Yeah. Praise God for that, because I am His child. I am His. And when He comes, He says, look, don't worry about what the enemy says. We're here one-on-one, and you're mine, man, and I'm going to bless you with words of life to lift you up. Because we get beat up, don't we? Nos golpea el enemigo gacho, ¿verdad? Muchas veces muy mal. Pero el Señor es mayor, ¿verdad? Que esos problemas. Okay, so Jesus truly understands and cares for you. Believe that. El Señor comprende lo que estás pasando por y te ama, ¿verdad? Let's go to 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. Vamos a la primera epístola de San Pedro, capítulo 5, versículos 6 y 7. No te preocupes de lo que digan los demás. And don't worry about what others say. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Praise God. Humillados pues bajo la poderosa mano de Dios para que él los exalte a su debido tiempo. Echando toda vuestra ansiedad, toda, no nomás parte, sobre él, porque él tiene cuidado de que de vosotros. You know, so many times we tend to just lay certain burdens to the Lord. And we think, no, this is too difficult. He can't handle this. God says, lay all your anxiety, all of it. Everything that worries you, lay it upon me. I nailed your sin to the cross. And I know what you need even before you ask. Don't ever think I'm not going to give you something that you need. Because if it's what you need, he will give it to you. And no one cares for you the way the Lord does. El Señor es el único que te ama así como Él ama. No te preocupes lo que digan los demás. Considera y confía en el Señor con todo tu corazón. Y Él te va a ministrar y dar victoria. Créelo. Recibe las palabras de vida del púlpito. Receive the words of life from the pulpit that God has for you. And move forward, trusting God for victory. Amen. Confían en el Señor por victoria. Proverbs 14, 11 and 12. Telling you there's going to be, we're going to close up here pretty soon, but we can continue Bardu as we come back. Proverbs 14, 11 and 12. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way in which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. La casa de los impíos será destruida, pero la tienda de los rectos florecerá. Hay camino que al hombre se le parece derecho, pero al final es camino de qué? De muerte. Okay, the house of the wicked will be destroyed. La casa del malvado se va a destruir. See, it's not what you think. And it's not what I think. No es lo que pensamos nosotros o lo que pienses tú. Pero lo que dice el Señor es lo que importa. But it's what God says that's important. And you have to remember that. See, a lost man might think he's right. But in reality, he's dead, right? Un hombre perdido quizás piensa que está bien, pero está muerto. Espiritualmente no tiene nada. ¿Verdad? Y una de las cosas que el hombre necio no sabe que está en un camino, una senda de destrucción. See, the foolish man doesn't understand that he's on a path of destruction. And he's going to die. And God says, you know what? The house of the wicked will be destroyed. And all these people that are mocking him and laughing at him will one day face the Creator. And it's going to be sad. If they don't wake up, don't repent, they're going to find out that is going to be destroyed. But what did he say? But the tent of the upright will flourish. The tent, this earthen tent, will flourish. We will have new bodies in heaven. And we will be rebuilt again in the Lord. Nosotros tenemos la nueva carpa que vamos a tener. Esta carpa se va gastando, pero nos va a dar una nueva al Señor. Y va a prosperar. Amén. Entonces no se les olvide. Adelante. Proverbs 14, 13. Proverbios 14, 13. Even in laughter, the heart may be in pain, and at the end of joy may be grief. Aún en la risa, el corazón puede tener dolor, y al final de la alegría puede ser tristeza. Now, this one's an interesting verse, because you know how we have comedians here in this world, right? They're always sharing their funny jokes, and yet, when you see their lives, they're all prone to mostly drugs and destruction. Many of them take their lives. Have you noticed that? And they're supposed to be the funniest guys, the happiest guys, but in laughter there can be heartache. And Robin Williams was one of the examples that we heard of recently. Comedians have to hide behind a facade. And you can't hide anything from God. He sees the inside of the heart. Y una de las cosas que cuando le pega el enemigo a una persona, ¿verdad? Lo que pasa es que la gente que se ríe, que son cómicos y todo, tienen la mayoría problema con las drogas y con tristeza. Y una de las cosas que se van rumbo a la destrucción. Porque el gozo del hombre no es eterno. See, the joy of a man, of a person, is not true joy. It's not eternal. The only true joy comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's the real joy. And it's not temporary. That joy that He gives us is regardless of our circumstances, our worries, our problems. That joy never changes because our joy is in the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. Cuando tenemos situaciones, acuérdense que el gozo del Señor no cambia. No le hace que duro se ponga la situación o la circunstancia en nuestra vida. El gozo del Señor es eterno. El del hombre es temporario. Por eso miras tanta gente, ¿verdad?, que anda según teniendo buen tiempo y al rato ya no están con nosotros. Porque el enemigo los traicionó. See, there's a lot of people in the world with false joy that is only temporary. And then when we hear about the heartache, it breaks our heart. But the joy of the Lord is in all circumstances. El gozo del Señor es en todas las circunstancias. Look at Proverbs 14 and 15. Miren Proverbios 14 al 15. The backslider in heart will have his fill of his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied with his. The naive believes everything, but the sensible man considers his steps. El de corazón descarriado se saciará de sus caminos, pero el hombre bueno estará satisfecho con el suyo. Now it's interesting here, right? Because you hear of a backslider in Scripture. There's such a thing as a person leaving the grace of God on their own free will. People will turn their backs on God many times. Hay mucha gente que le va a voltear al Señor la espalda, aunque algún tiempo lo conocieron. La palabra aquí está simple. El simple todo lo cree, pero el prudente mira bien sus pasos. Y una de las cosas, ¿verdad?, que miramos, cuando miramos esto en la palabra, una de las cosas que miramos que hay gente que se va a alejar del Señor. Cuando usa la palabra aquí, ¿verdad?, los simples, habla de las personas, ¿verdad?, que hacen todo lo que les dicen y lo creen. When it's talking about the naive here, you'll see in other translations of your Bible, simpletons. Okay, simpletons and naive people are the ones who believe everything they're told, everything they're given, and they apply it. People who say, I saw it, and I believe it, especially on the internet. Everything on the internet is true, you know that, right? That's how they behave. That's not. La gente que dice que todo lo miró y lo miró en el internet, gente que les dicen todo y lo creen sin investigar, esos son los necios, ¿verdad? Los simples. Entonces, una de las cosas, ¿verdad?, que nos enseña el Señor, que hay gente que es así porque no posee convicciones de nada. The reason people are naive and simpletons is because they have no convictions for anything. I just go with the flow, whatever it is. Nomás sigo mi vida así, ¿verdad?, pero no tengo convicción. In other words, they're on the road of tolerance. Están en el camino de la tolerancia, ¿verdad? The naive lack the wisdom of God. They will never be able to discern what is right and what is wrong. El simple, ¿verdad?, no tiene el discernimiento del Señor ni la sabiduría. Entonces no tiene la habilidad de discernir lo que es correcto y lo que está equivocado. The good they call bad, and the bad they call what? Good. And this is why we have the mess in the world. Lo que está bueno le están llamando malo ya, y lo malo le llaman bueno. Y todo se está vendiendo en un modo que están perdiéndose más y más gente. Si se fijan, están creyendo las mentiras del enemigo. If you notice in this fallen world, more and more people are being deceived by that kind of philosophy. And you see it. They're lost. Look at what Isaiah 5:20 says. Mire lo que dice Isaías 5:20. Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, Who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Ay de los que llaman al mal bien y al bien mal, que tienen las tinieblas por luz y la luz por tinieblas, que tienen lo amargo por lo dulce y lo dulce por amargo. Do we see that in today's society? We see it plain clear. Miramos esto en la sociedad claramente. Cuando se predica algo, se enseña algo, o se les enseña algo en las noticias, investiguenlo. No nomás lo tomen por verdad. Whenever you're told something at church, from the pulpit, or you're taught something through the news network or the internet, whatever it is, investigate it. Do not take it as truth until you know it's truth because you checked it out. There was people in Acts chapter 17 that were called the Bereans. And one of the things is those Bereans kept studying and making sure that Paul the Apostle was teaching them God's truth. And they didn't mind checking up on his teachings. See, that should be something that no teacher should be afraid of. Because if he's in line with doctrine, he's in line with God, you can check out all my teaching you want, and because I know that I've studied it the way that God has given me the ability. But you should not get offended. No se debe ofender un maestro si le están diciendo, ¿sabes qué? Tu enseñanza no se me hizo bien. Tenemos que comprobarlo con los versículos. Remember, scripture verifies scripture. La escritura enseña escritura, ¿verdad? Entonces los bereos, ¿verdad? Que estaban en la Biblia, estaban cuestionando las enseñanzas de Pablo y lo buscaban. Y dice, ¿verdad? Que esta gente era más noble que de los de Tesalonicenses. Porque estaban investigando y les importaba, ¿verdad? Que la palabra tuviera buena. That's why it says the Bereans were no more noble than the Thessalonians. Because they would scrutinize the scriptures and they would get in there. They were people who continued to value that the scripture had to be taught in accuracy. La palabra se tiene que enseñar en perfección. No se puede estar cambiando. Y hay muchas iglesias rebajando la palabra ahora. There's so many churches bringing down the word of God. Cheapening the word of God. And this is dangerous. Why? Because it divides the body of Christ. And many people go astray. Tenemos que enseñar la palabra como está escrita, porque si no, no estamos siendo prudentes. Y lo que el Señor dice, cuidado, hágase como los bereos, ¿verdad? Que están allí y están buscando, ¿verdad? Always measure what you hear. Todo el tiempo midan lo que oyen y los que escuchan. Todo el tiempo busquen las palabras que se enseña del púlpito y busquen si es verdad o no. Every word that you hear from pulpits all over, make sure that you are investigating what's behind it. Over the radio, how many preachers are on the radio now that are not of God? ¿Cuántos predicadores que están en el radio no son de Dios? ¿Verdad? Entonces, busquen las escrituras y investiguenlas. Search the scriptures, scrutinize the scriptures. También hay que tener cuidado con lo que el gobierno nos dice. No acepten todo como verdad. Remember what the government says as well. Don't take it all as truth. Investigate what they're telling you and asking you to do. Investiga lo que te están diciendo, ¿verdad? Y investigalo. Okay, so I got through one point today. All right? Build that home up with integrity. The Word of God. Acuérdense, instruir el hogar con la palabra de Dios. It begins with our kids, teaching them integrity and integrity to the Word of God. Hay que enseñar la integridad en nuestros hogares. Amén. All right, vamos a ponernos de pie. Let's stand up. Like the worship group to come up. All right. Vamos a orar, darle gracias al Señor por su palabra de ahora. Let's thank God for His word and give Him the glory for His word today. Father, we thank you that you have spoken to our hearts that if we are going to build up godly homes, it starts with integrity with us first as parents and then relaying that integrity to our children through teaching them the word of God. Help us to be those parents that teach our children how to walk in integrity so that they in turn will be blessed and their children's children will be blessed. And continue to lead us, to guide us in everything we do today, Father. As we continue, Father, to meditate on your word, as we go home, Thank you, Lord, for the words of life you've given us today, the hope that you give us from the pulpit too. Father, thank you for that, that you know we're your children and you want to bless us, Lord, with words of life and encouragement so we continue going forward. Father, so many times the enemy comes to discourage. Father, we ask you to rebuke him in our lives, to cast him out so that we can continue to grow and mature in the study of your word. Señor, te pido por tu pueblo que ahora escucharon palabras de vida del púlpito, que Señor puedan aplicar esta palabra para que, Señor, edifiquen casas, Señor, preciosas, que le ministren a sus hijos e hijas de la integridad, para que les den palabra también, Señor, de la palabra santa, para que sus hijos crezcan en esa integridad y bendigan sus hogares también. Señor, que no se aparten de ti y que sigan buscando, Señor, cada día cómo acercarse más y más a tu palabra y que bendigas tu pueblo. Padre, eres tan bueno que vamos a meditar todo lo que nos dices ahora y aplicarlo a nuestras vidas. Bendice a tu pueblo hermosamente. Señor, dales una noche de descanso hermoso. Father, bless your people. Give them a wonderful night of rest tonight. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Te damos gracias, Señor. Te amamos en el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Y todo su pueblo dice, amén. God bless you. Have a great night. We'll sing one more song and then we'll dismiss.